This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alrighty, inshallah. We're going to go ahead and begin. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to come together again for another Thursday session together, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you guys, accept from the efforts that you guys make, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you guys and your families, inshallah. We are, alhamdulillah, heading towards the finish line of this series, you know, in the next maybe three or four sessions. I didn't want to go too deep into the book. Alhamdulillah, the book is pretty extensive. And so inshallah, we're going to do a few more chapters. And then inshallah, for the semester, we'll wrap up because in December, we take a decent break from Roots programming in the final 10 days or so because myself, Ustad Abdul Rahman, we both go to Umrah every single winter, alhamdulillah. So Roots programming will be on a little bit of a hiatus in that last 10-day stretch. So inshallah, we'll aim to finish this series, I believe, on the 18th or the 19th of December. And then inshallah, in January, we're going to start off Soul Food with a brand new series, inshallah. So it'll be really awesome to be able to kind of share those new series with you guys. So we're, inshallah, going to be going through a really beautiful portion of the book today, okay? Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, in this particular portion of the chapter, last week we talked about the importance of seeking mentors in your life, right? What does it mean to have a person to look up to? What does a role model look like for a person, right? Is a role model just simply a person that you find nice characteristics in? Or is a role model, you know, much deeper than just a person who you may look up to for one or two things? So we talked about that extensively, alhamdulillah. And now we get to this portion of that chapter where Imam Ghazali, he talks about the idea of tasawwuf. Now, tasawwuf is an interesting kind of term. Tasawwuf, right? Meaning that a person's trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the idea of purification of the heart, right? They're not necessarily, you know, there's different ways of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ways of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously through learning more, right? Another avenue to get closer to Allah is, you know, ibadat, worship. Another way of getting closer to Allah is through purification of your own self, right? Making sure that you're getting better, refining, finding faults within the heart, you know, diseases of the heart, things that we struggle with, and how to eradicate those diseases so that the heart may become pure and more presentable towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so today's session is going to be heavily reflective on the idea of purifying your heart, okay? So he starts off and he says, I'lam, know that tasawwuf has two general sifat, two general characteristics, okay? Everything has characteristics, okay? Whether you know it or not, your characteristics, they define who you are as an identity, okay? There's a very, you know, famous English maxim that says, where there's smoke, there's fire, okay? Even if, like, a person's like, oh, yeah, that smoke, I wonder where it's coming from. If you go back to the originality of that smoke, there is some sort of asl, there's some sort of base foundation to begin with, okay? So if a person says, well, you know, I'm not a bad person, but then they do, you know, the things that are very familiar in terms of their actions of what it means to be a bad person, then people will be like, yeah, this person is not a good human being. And again, as much as people should not judge who we are, our reputation, it precedes us, right? The actions that we do, there are consequences to those actions. And when a person does certain things, people around them will either make a decision to or not to do certain things around that person, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he was as-sadiq al-ameen. He was the most trustworthy and truthful person in the entirety of the city of Mecca. And because of that, people made decisions based off of that description that he had. If the Prophet was not a trustworthy person, people will not entrust him with what they entrusted him with, right? When people used to leave the city of Mecca, even those who opposed Islam, they used to literally say, Ya Muhammad. They didn't believe he was a prophet, so they used to call him by his name. They would say, Ya Muhammad, we're going to leave our belongings with you while we go travel outside of Mecca with our families. And you'd consider, you'd ask yourself the question, like, this person hates Islam. This person hates the concept of La ilaha illallah. Why would they entrust somebody who is a prophet? They don't even believe him as a prophet, but why would they entrust somebody who claims to be a prophet with their personal belongings? That means that there is a reputation that he had so strongly that it necessitated their trust within him. Okay? And so he says, know that purification of the heart, of, you know, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has two major characteristics. One is something you call istiqama. Okay? Istiqama. Istiqama means steadfastness. All right? Steadfastness. Now, what does steadfastness mean? Steadfastness is a term that the Prophet ﷺ, he defined himself. Okay? He said, قُلْ رَبِّ اللَّهَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. He said, say that God is your Lord, say that Allah is your Lord, and then stick to it. So being steadfast means that a person sticks to something. They don't abandon something. They're consistent with it. Steadfastness is something that is of the most highest qualities of a believer. Why? Because they stick through something even in bad times. It's not only good times, but in bad times as well. Steadfastness means that when the worst things happen to me, I will stick with my faith that Allah has given me. That is what steadfastness is. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be broken. And you can see, subhanAllah, so much of this within the examples of the Palestinians, the people in Gaza who are going through what they're going through. No matter how much they are tormented and tried and tortured, they are people who say, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shaken by your threats or by your empty words. And even if you take away my home, or even you take away some of my family members, I will never leave this faith. That is what istiqamah actually is. The Prophet ﷺ, he went through this himself. People in Mecca used to throw trash at him. People in Mecca used to do disgusting things like put the insides of animals near his feet as he walked. But never would he ever say that, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and abandon my religion because this is getting too difficult for me at this moment. Istiqama is sticking through something no matter how hard the road gets for you. So seek that inspiration from the people around you. There are stories that I'm sure you guys have seen in your own personal lives of people sticking to their faith when dropping their faith would actually be a very reasonable, logical conclusion. A person may be taunting you, maybe mocking you, maybe making an absolute joke out of you. But because of your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your reverence for what Allah has done for you in your life, you cannot imagine a life without that faith. That is what istiqamah does for somebody. Istiqamah is a battle of what you love more. Istiqamah is a battle of what you love more. Do you love Allah more? Or do you love giving in to the pressures around you more? Ask yourself that question. And that question can make people uncomfortable. But the answer to that question may actually define who you are as a person. Right? So he says here, steadfastness is the first characteristic of a person who wants to grow closer to Allah through the purification of their own heart. And the second is so interesting. The second is serenity from the creation. All right? So I'll explain what that means. He says, whosoever is steadfast and makes his manners and morals most beautiful in dealing with people and treats them with forbearance, that person is a person of tasawwuf. They're purifying their hearts for the right reasons, for the sake of Allah. Okay? Now, he mentions a specific word right here that I'm going to highlight for you guys. And that word is forbearance. Al-hilm. Okay? This word, by the way, is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the 99 names of Allah, one of the names of Allah is Al-Halim, the one who's forbearing. The word forbearing, I know it's kind of like a weird Shakespearean English word. I don't know, nobody knows what the word forbearance ever means. Like, it's like the word like ablution for wudu. You know, when you try to find a translation for wudu in the English dictionary, you're like, what does that mean? And you find the word ablution and you're like, yeah, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what that means. So, you know, this idea of forbearance, what it means is gentleness. Forbearance means being gentle with everything that you do. So Imam Ghazali, he's saying, one of the ways to get closer to Allah is being gentle with the people around you. Being gentle and courteous with the people around you. How does that get you closer to Allah? I'll tell you why. Because when you're gentle to those around you, you are gentle to them because you also acknowledge them as creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, subhanAllah, how many times, unfortunately, a'udhu billah, in our lives, do we see people abusing other people for different reasons, right? Some people abuse out of, you know, power and authority. Some people abuse out of insecurity. Some people abuse out of this false sense of, you know, pride and righteousness. But a person who is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never harm those around them. Why? Because before they see any personal relationship between me and that person, what they see that other person as is a creation of Allah, right? A husband and a wife that look at each other and they get mad at each other and they start arguing. One of the ways to, you know, mediate that argument, to remedy that conflict, is to remind the person that the person I'm speaking to is actually a worshiper of Allah, right? When you look at your friend and your friend makes you angry, they upset you because they told you that they meet you at Talkin' Tacos at 7 o'clock and then it's 7:45 and they left you on red, right? And you think all these thoughts in your head, do you even love me anymore, right? Like, all these things come flying into your mind. And you think to yourself, like, wow, like, what a terrible person. Like, why did I ever make plans with this guy? Why did I ever make plans with this girl? Why did I ever even, like, hope that they'd be a close friend of mine, right? Like, in those 30 minutes, you wrote an entire novel in your head about how your life is a sham. But then, subhanAllah, they text you at 7:30 and they say, I'm so sorry, I got caught up with my dad, he needed some help. And at that moment, you remember, subhanAllah, I should have given this person excuses. They had a legitimate excuse. And when you give that person an excuse, you remember that, yes, they are a creation of Allah. They have flaws. Aren't we late? Don't we fall short in our responsibilities sometimes? Don't we say certain things? And sometimes we may forget, or maybe we have a slip of the mind and a mistake that we make. Well, yes, if you have that, then you understand that I'm also a creation of Allah, and being a creation of Allah means that I'm flawed. I'm flawed in so many different ways. And so forbearance is this idea of being so courteous to the shortcomings of the people around you. Stop seeking perfection from the people around you. Who's to say, like, what contract did your friend sign that they said that, yeah, I text you back within 3 minutes, right? Two to three minute business days. You know, no. They never signed that clause. They never signed the clause of perfection. So be forbearing, be gentle, be forgiving to the people around you. So he says here, steadfastness entails that he should take for himself only so much that they deserve. Steadfastness entails that they should take for themselves only so much as they deserve. And I'll tell you what that means. Steadfastness, meaning to take only for what you need, means that you don't transgress beyond whatever you do need. You don't become selfish. You don't become a person who transgresses the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You stay within the limits of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has requested you to stay within, right? You're not being selfish with Allah, right? When Allah tells you, hey, you know, Adam, Bilal, Ibrahim, Saira, you know, Aisha, I've given you like 97 halal things and 3 haram things. And Aisha's like, aw, 3? Like, why? Like, those are the, like, you know, like, we start complaining. And then we forget that Allah has actually allowed you to do so many things, right? Allah has made permissible so many things in your life. Stay within those bounds. Only a person of ingratitude, I'll tell you guys, subhanAllah, only a person of ingratitude will look at 95 things that Allah gives them that are so beautiful for them and 5 things that Allah restricts you from and focus on the 5 things that Allah restricts you from. Only an ungrateful person would do that. Why? Because you're like, no matter how good it gets for me, I always focus on the things that I can't do. Right? When you look at your life, you have X, Y, and Z. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings. I have a healthy life. My physical body, I don't have any severe health issues. I have a mother and a father who have taken care of me. I have siblings who I get along with. I have a car that I can drive to my college. I have, you know, a college that I go and seek education in. But for some reason, I always focus on the problems in my life. For some reason, I always see the glass half empty. I never see the glass half full. This is the opposite of the example of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see the glass half full everywhere he turned in his life. Everywhere he turned in his life. Lost his father before he was even born. I want you to imagine that. The Prophet's father, Abdullah, passed away 2 months before his son was even born. So the Prophet was born without a father. The Prophet ﷺ lost his own mother when he was 6. And then his grandfather when he was 8. And then he lost his wife Khadija in his adulthood. He lost his uncle Abu Talib in that same year. One after the other, blow after blow, shock after shock. And this man continued to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah upon every single circumstance in life. So steadfastness is very closely tied to the idea of gratitude. If you're a grateful person, you remain steadfast in all walks of life. If you're an ungrateful person, you'll find it harder to stick with Islam through your life. Because you'll always find a way to get out of a tough situation by just folding, right? But a person who's grateful, they'll remember why they stick with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, dealing with people in a beautiful manner entails that you do not burden people according to your own desires. You don't burden people according to your own desires. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something so beautiful. He says, "Al-yadul 'ulya khayrun min al-yadus sufla." He said, the hand that gives, the upper hand that gives, is better than the lower hand that takes. What does that mean? It means that you're not just a consumer. You're not asking what you can take. You know, subhanAllah, when you go to like, you know, masajid and you go to like community events and mashallah, they got that spread for you, right? And you're like, in your mind, you look at that pizza box and you're like, all right, so there's like 20 of us. There's one pizza box. I got to carve out my nook right there. Right? Like, I got to make sure I get mine. This is a person who is consumed by just thinking about what they can take. The true muhsin, a person who is excellent in what they do, they look at that food and they actually hop behind the table and they start serving. Oh, I'll eat. Don't worry about me. I'll eat later. Me, I'm here because I want to serve. I want to serve people. That's what the muhsin does. So Imam Ghazali, he says that the true person who is beautiful in their manners, they do not burden people according to their own desires. They don't make their own desire something that other people are burdened by. If they want food, you know, you ask for, hey, are you hungry? No, I'm good. Are you hungry? Are you good? Right? I'm going to check on you first. The Prophet ﷺ would check on people when he himself was in severe pain. In severe pain, he would check on people. He didn't make his own problems the highlight of other people's lives. Because I'll tell you something, when you are so selfless to the point where you care so much about other people's problems, there will be a person in your life that will recognize the purity of your soul. It's usually the people who crave attention that never have that attention-seeking mindset satiated ever. Like, they want more. They want more and more and more. So whenever they walk around, they expect people to be like, yeah, so like, you're amazing, right? Like, they expect that treatment. But a person who doesn't want attention, they don't want to burden other people. They always ask, you know, what can I do for you? How are you? How have you been, right? This is the type of the person the Prophet ﷺ was, Okay. And so they don't burden other people with their own desires. But he says, burden yourself according to their desires, so long as they do not violate the Sharia. So you're there for people. You give back to people. You burden yourself with the problems of other people sometimes. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ was frequent in doing. So long, obviously, as it didn't hinder his own kind of his own worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the kind of fine line here, because some of us sometimes we give so much of ourselves away that actually hinders our own connection to Allah, right? Like we're listening to somebody cry and cry and cry and cry, and you realize that you're completely now like depleted of any sort of energy and nourishment. You've missed your salah, and so you've given too much of yourself. The Prophet ﷺ, I'll tell you, the recipe that the Prophet curated was always to give himself to other people in a way of connecting them to Allah. That was the recipe. I'm going to give myself to somebody to the point where they fall in love with Allah. If your goal of giving yourself to other people is so that they may fall in love with you, your intention's in the wrong place. Your intention's in the wrong place. I'm going to spend time with you because I want you to love me. I want you to like me. No. Why am I up here right now? Why do me and Ustad Abdurrahman week in and week out come in, teach classes? It's not so that you guys can fall in love with us. We could care less. The goal of roots, the goal of community, the goal of institutions like this is to connect people's hearts to Allah. Sometimes it'll be through Thursday evenings. Sometimes it'll be through a bonfire. Sometimes it'll be through grabbing a latte at Suhba. Sometimes it'll be praying Jummah on a Friday. Sometimes it'll be Sheikh Mikael on a Wednesday. Sometimes it'll be a game night. Sometimes it'll be like a sister's like painting class. They're all things that lead you to Allah. That's the goal. So whatever you do, even you're investing time for other people, should be to connect that person's heart back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And if you do it properly, if you do it well, that person will be able to see that, wow, this person, it's not them, it's their Islam. It's their Islam. You know, this whole idea that we have, this kind of like anxiety that we've developed about like, oh my God, everybody hates Muslims and like, no, everyone's Islamophobic and nobody likes us. No. Ask yourself, have you connected people's hearts to Islam through you? Have you connected people's hearts to Islam through you? Or do you make a mess in the public bathroom whenever you go? Because if you do that, then why are you shocked that people hate Islam? Wallahi, I had the most tragic incident. I remember this when I was younger. I was in a conference one time, and I went to, it was like held in like a hotel, like a big hotel, a very famous known hotel. And I remember I went to the restroom to go and take a break, and I was washing my hands, and there was one of the custodians who was kind of cleaning up around the restroom and putting trash away and things like that. And he looked at me and he's like, are you Muslim? I was like, yes. And he goes, man, I hate when y'all do conferences here. And I was like, I was ready to write the report up, right? I was like, wait a second, say that a little bit louder into the microphone, right? So I can, you know, file hate crimes against you. But I wanted to kind of pry a little bit. I was like, why does this guy say that? So I kind of dug a little bit deeper. I peeled another layer of the onion back and I said, why do you hate when, you know, Muslims do a conference or an event here in this hotel? He says, because y'all are the only group that leave the bathrooms absolutely disgusting. Isn't that so depressing? Of all the foot traffic that he witnesses and experiences, he says, every time I see Islamic blank event or Muslim event, I know that I have to work extra hard that weekend. Why? Because the bathrooms will be left unclean. So subhanAllah, it's very easy to go around and be like, yeah, man, people don't like me. People don't like Islam. Why are they so bigoted? Why are they so arrogant? Why are they so ignorant? But what does Allah say in the Quran? He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. He says, Allah will not change the state of people until they change what is within themselves. If you want people to institutionally think differently about you, you have to ask yourself, am I a part of the problem or am I a part of the solution? If you're a part of the problem, we can't complain. We're just a part of the issue, the greater issue that we see at hand, right? So he says, but burden yourself according to the desires of others so long as they don't violate the Sharia. He says, سألتني, you asked me عن العبودية. He says, you asked me about عبودية, becoming a servant of Allah. Becoming a servant of Allah. What does becoming a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, right? I want you guys to think about that. You know, when you pass away, people will be resurrected categorically according to like what they did in this dunya. I want you guys to think about that. Like on the day of judgment, people will be resurrected with the people around them that were the same as them. So subhanAllah, you know, you think what category defines you, right? Like in this life, you call yourself certain things. Like, I'm an artist. I'm kind of a creative. I'm a content creator. I'm a this, I'm a that. Like, ask yourself, who would you want to be resurrected with on the day of judgment? Would you want to be resurrected with people who are known to be truthful? Would you want to be resurrected with like Logan Paul? I don't know. Like, who would you want to be resurrected with? Who do you identify with? Do you want to be resurrected with like the Vela Hijab like company? You know, like who do you want to roll with? Who do you want to rock with on the day of judgment? So Imam Ghazali, he says, you ask me about ubudiyya, becoming a servant of Allah. May Allah allow us to all be resurrected as people who are servants of Allah. Everyone say ameen. Because on that day, subhanAllah, can you imagine being on that team? Like you wake up on the day of judgment and around you is everyone that prayed. And you're like, I'm good. I don't know what the judgment is going to be, but the team I'm rocking with is good, right? Like they can cover me, right? We're gonna play 2-3 zone. They're gonna cover up my man defense because it's so bad, right? Being resurrected with that squad is going to be priceless. So he says, you asked me about ubudiyya, about being a servant of Allah. And he says, it comprises of three things. The first, he says, is the careful observance of the command of the sacred law of Allah. Guys, I cannot continue to repeat myself more than what we have talked about for so many weeks now, which is, think about what Allah would say. Think about what Allah would say about X, Y, or Z, right? Do I care even a small fraction about what Allah would think before I do anything in my life, right? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu one time tried to kind of like test a young man who owned, or no, he didn't own actually, sorry. His master owned like the farm that he used to watch over, okay? And Umar one time was walking by this young man, and he says, you know, ya ghulam, oh my young man, my young son. He goes, why don't you go ahead and sell me one of these sheep that you're watching? And the guy goes, they're not mine. I can't sell them, right? It's not for me to sell. And Umar ibn Khattab, he says, come on, man. Like, why are you being difficult? Like, I'll slip you a 20. You give me a sheep, and you tell your king or your master that, you know, you just lost it. You make a quick buck and you're good. You got an excuse. And the young man, he says, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. He goes, but what about Allah? I can fool my master. I can fool you. I can even fool myself. How many times have we lied to ourselves about things that we know aren't true? Like, yeah, I prayed. Like, you know you didn't pray. You just keep telling yourself, you're like, yeah, I did that. He goes, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. What about God? I can't trick Allah. So thinking about Allah for even a small moment. And by the way, the ending of that story is beautiful because later when Umar got to Medina, he sent a letter. He drafted a letter to go purchase this kid's freedom. And so when the kid found the letter from Umar ibn Khattab, he found Umar in Medina. He says, yeah, Umar, why did you do that? Like, I was some random kid that you passed by in the middle of the road on the way back to Medina. Why did you free me? And Umar ibn Khattab, he goes, the words you spoke, fa'ain Allah, what about Allah? Those words freed you in the dunya, and those words will also free you in the hereafter. Keep thinking that way. You keep thinking that way, and you will be freed in so many different ways of your life. Allahu Akbar, right? So he says comprises of three things. First is the careful observance of the commands of Allah. The second, oh, this is beautiful. He says the second is satisfaction with decree. Satisfaction with decree. Fate and the dispensation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what we rely upon. If something happens, what do we say? It happened for a reason. It happened why? Because Allah intended it to happen. It happened because it was a part of Allah's plan. And if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't have happened, right? This is how a Muslim sleeps at night. You know the situation right now in Palestine? People who do not believe in a God, it is torture day in and day out. It's torture for us as well. Of course it is, to see the atrocities. But when we go to sleep at night and we make our du'as and we pray and we donate money to supply whatever we can, we go to sleep at night and we tell ourselves, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can end this war tomorrow. Every moment that Allah allows to continue, there is some reason behind it. There is some reason behind it. The road to Jannah right now is filled with Palestinians. It's incredible. The road to paradise is filled with people from Gaza right now. Perhaps, Allahu alam, perhaps Allah intended for all of these people to go to paradise without any sort of judgment ever. And so because of that, they're being tested in a way in this dunya that you will never be tested in this dunya. And because they're free from a test in the akhirah, maybe we will be the people that are tested in the akhirah. And when you think about life that way, you're like, wow, I don't actually pity them. I'm almost envious. I'm almost envious of them. That Allah has granted them this permission to enter Jannah without any hisab. They will not be asked one question on the Day of Judgment. But me, Allah will ask me, hey, Syrah, did you really like yell back at your mom that day? I'm like, oh gosh, you remember that, right? Like, down to the nitty gritty of it. But the Palestinians, Allah will not ask them one question. Subhanallah, this qadr that we believe in, it gets us through. Because this is the qadr that we rely upon, that we believe that all of my happy moments, all of my sad moments are all because of this qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the third is forsaking pleasing yourself in order to seek the pleasure of Allah. This is one of the greatest contentions in a human being's life. Am I here to make me happy, or am I here to make Allah happy? And sometimes, subhanAllah, I'll tell you this, the person who actually like wins in life is when their life becomes so unanimous with whatever Allah is happy with. My salah is something that I love. My sadaqah is something that I love. My fasting is something that I enjoy. My dua is something that I love. It's beloved to me. No longer is what Allah loves and what I love two separate things. Like sometimes, like, I love watching Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. Allah is like, you should pray Isha. And me, I'm like, nah, I'm good. Those two things are separate. But when a person loves Allah, that love for Isha takes over their love for whatever else they were doing, right? Catch that late night movie with the friends, right? We miss Maghrib. We can no longer watch that movie until we pray that Maghrib Salah. Even if it means missing like four parts of the movie or 4 minutes of the movie, that's fine. When I pray, I'm happier. I can catch up later. But my salah and what Allah loves is one and the same, right? That's the true person who wins. And then he says, سَأَلْتَنِي عَنْ تَوَكُّلِ. He says, you asked me about tawakkul. Tawakkul is what? He says, total reliance on Allah. It means that you should strengthen your belief in everything promised by Allah. That is, believe that whatever has been destined for you will reach you. And everybody in the universe should strive to keep it from you. And whatever has not been written for you will never reach you, even if all of creation assisted you. So if you want to understand what tawakkul is to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what you lean on in your life. You lean on Allah as the pillar in your life. When all else fails, you trust Allah more than you trust anybody else. You know why? Because sometimes it's hard to trust people. Do you guys agree with this statement? People's trust is hard to come by, right? And people's trust is very easily broken. It's hard to make and easily broken. But when it comes to Allah, I want you to think the moments in your life that Allah has gotten you through the most difficult of situations. You may have been sick with an illness that you never thought you were going to get out of. And alhamdulillah, you're here right now, healthy, enjoying your life with a person that you love, with your friends and your family members. Imagine the time where you thought that you are in a terrible place in your life. You could not get out of your own head. You were your own worst demon. You were thinking to yourself, wow, I can never get out of this moment. And Allah helped you get out. And now, alhamdulillah, you think a little bit better about yourself. You think a little bit better about the people around you. And alhamdulillah, Allah has allowed sukoon, tranquility, to overtake your heart. Remember those moments and then trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Whenever a human being is tested, we always think, why? Why Allah? Why would you allow this? But we never remember the times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to escape death. We never remember the moments where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to escape the worst mistake of your life, right? Subhanallah, I mean, how many times have we seen these incidents unfold in front of our own eyes? You go down the highway and you see, wow, there's a police car and an ambulance and a fire truck and a car flipped over. That could have been me. That could have been me. I was driving on the same highway. I was driving the same speed. I was going in the same direction. That could have been me. Why did I not end up flipped over? But see, the ingrate, the person who's ungrateful, they go by that car accident and they're like, whoops. And they don't think anything of it. But the believer, they see that car accident on the side of the road and they say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That could have been me. That could have been me, easily. Allah could have easily made that me, right? So, tawakkul ala Allah, okay? And he says, you asked me about ikhlas. You asked me about this idea of ikhlas. What is ikhlas? He says, it entails that all of your actions should be for the sake of Allah. Do not allow your heart to take pleasure with the praises of people, nor to be saddened by their condemnation. What a line. What a line. Do not allow your heart to take pleasure with the praises of people, and do not allow it to be saddened by their condemnation. Ikhlas, guys, is a way that you develop the strongest heart you possibly can. Because ikhlas means that you're not doing it for anyone here. Subhanallah, I want you guys to think about this. Ikhlas is, it doesn't matter if there's 30 people around you, 100 people around you, or maybe it's 2 people that are here right now. You would treat this moment exactly the same. You know why Islam is what it is today? Islam is what it is today because of the ikhlas of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never saw this. I want you to know that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never imagined a world where people would be talking about Allah sipping on an iced vanilla latte. Could you imagine? Like, they were ducking pebbles and like arrows just to do stuff like this. We're sitting here like, can I have a matcha with like strawberry syrup in it? You're like, yeah. And then I want to learn about Imam Ghazali's advice tonight, right? Like, it's unheard of. You have baristas, mashallah, who like serve coffee, right? Like, and then you're sitting on couches and nice floor seats and there's plants and trees everywhere. And everybody asks, oh my God, what's that smell when you walk into Roots, right? Like, this experience, by the way, the Prophet never, ever saw this come into fruition. The Prophet, what he saw was hiding from people so he can go and say Allahu Akbar for the Dhuhr Salat. He saw people firing arrows at him because he said that he was a messenger of God. And now when we say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're saying it with other people who are like saying the same thing after us. Islam was allowed to grow because this one man was the sincerest person that ever existed in the history of mankind. So if you want to replicate that in your own life, you want to have that level of success, the level of that yield, right? We always ask ourselves, man, like, I put in the work. Why did I get it? I put in the work. I put in the hours. I put in the studies. I put in the time and the money. I put in everything. Why didn't I get it? And sure, it could be Qadr Allah. It could be, you know, Allah never decreed it for you. But ask yourself, did I do it in the most sincere way possible? Right? Or did I have like another alternative motive for everything that I did in my life? Right? I come to Roots to get married. Now, I didn't learn anything and I'm also still single. Like, You double failed. Like, you know, it's like, subhanAllah, people's intentions will always, always show through the results in their life, right? A person may not want money, and they're the richest person alive. There's a person who wants money badly, and Allah prevented it from them. Why? Because Allah knew. If I gave you that desire that you wanted, you would have ruined yourself with it. I gave that money to a person that doesn't care about it, because it's not going to ruin them, right? Sometimes Allah will withhold knowledge from people, because Allah knows if I give you some information, you are going to yap on TikTok at 12:30 a.m. I'm going to withhold that ilm from you just to save the rest of the ummah. You're going to start another brother's podcast, right? I'm not going to give it to you. You know? So Allah will take that knowledge and give it to somebody else, right? You may ask yourself, like, man, I try so hard to be beautiful, but like for some reason, I just don't feel good about myself. Well, maybe it's because you're focusing too much on the appearance. And so Allah took that appearance and gave it to somebody that doesn't care about appearance as much. And now you hate that girl because she's so pretty. You're like, you know, like, how, you don't even know. No, because Allah decreed it to be for another person because it's better for them. Allah gave that one student that application acceptance because it's better for them. For you, you had another route. And this is what we call Allah's tarbiyah. Allah is developing you as a person. Maybe Allah will give it to you later because you'll be ready for it later. How many times have y'all like really wanted something really badly at a certain part of your life and you were deprived from it and Allah gave it to you when you were older and you didn't really want it anymore, right? Like you really wanted that car when you were like 21, but then you got it when you were like 23, 24. Because when you were 21, bro, if you got it, you would have actually been the dumbest person alive. You would have done something stupid with it. But Allah gave it to you at 24. Why? Because you're able to handle it a little bit better. Right? Some people are like, oh my God, I'm like 25 and single. Like, why? Habibi, maybe Allah's protecting people from you right now. I don't know. So you'll get married, inshallah, when you're 30. Because at that time, Allah knows that that is the best time for you. You'll be ready by then, inshallah. Right? So this is all tied in with ikhlas. And then the final thing, subhanAllah, we'll talk about this, inshallah, and end class today. The final example, he says, and I want to tell you about this characteristic that you should avoid like a plague. You should avoid it like a disease. And it is ar-riya. Ar-riya, showing off. The Prophet, by the way, it's a very scary hadith. The Prophet, one time he said that I don't fear shirk for my ummah. Shirk, you know, the greater shirk. Right? He says, I fear the minor shirk. What is minor shirk? Like, what does that mean? I thought shirk was just associating partners with Allah. And so his companions, he said, Ya Rasulullah, what is shirk al-azghar? What is the smaller form of, you know, attributing partners with Allah? He says, ar-riya, showing off. He says, you should know that showing off is born from exalting mankind. Subhanallah. So instead of saying subhanallah, you're glorifying people that Allah made, right? He said, your glorification is in the wrong place. You love the creation of Allah too much when you should actually love the creator of those creations. You love the cars and the houses. You love the money. You love the fame. You love the popularity. You love the personalities. That's what you love. When in fact, you should love the one who made it, right? So he says, you love the you exalt mankind, you put too much of your hope and reliance on mankind, right? Oh man, like, why does that person not like me? Why does that person not like appreciate me? Well, no, don't worry about that person's appreciation. That person's so flawed in so many different ways. You should be more concerned if Allah appreciates you. If Allah appreciates you, I'm telling you guys right now, nobody else in the world matters, dude. There have been people, subhanAllah, and I know, by the way, I know, relationships in life where you're not appreciated by people who are actually meaningful to you, it's a really deep scar. It really hurts, right? Like when you're trying your best and you're going through life and you're trying to make right decisions and you're going through each and every step in your life in the right way and people like your parents don't appreciate you for what you're doing and the effort that you're putting in, it hurts. It hurts. I'm not going to lie. It hurts a lot, right? When your friends, you try to give yourself and you give a lot of yourself away, your time, your energy, your good manners and everything, and your friends still don't appreciate who you are, maybe it's their loss. Maybe it's their loss. Maybe we should stop focusing on why them and think about, man, subhanAllah, I make dua that Allah put somebody in my life that will appreciate me, and ultimately I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with me. Do I do things so I can be acknowledged by people, or do I do things because I know that Allah will like that I do those things? Am I just kind to people around me because I want them to be like, yeah, that guy's nice? Or am I kind to people because I know that Allah loves when I'm kind to people? Do I give charity because I like that feeling of like, yeah, people appreciate my charity? Or do I give charity because I know that Allah is appreciative of me when I give charity? I always ask this question. If there was nobody else on the planet, right, that was impoverished, if there was nobody in the dunya that was hungry and that was, that they were deprived of food, would you ever stop fasting? No. You'd continue. You know that answer we give to ourselves, like, why do you fast? And you're like, so we can feel what poor people feel like. It's a very patronizing answer, by the way. You're like, yeah, so I fast 30 days so I can feel what poor people feel like. You're like, oh my God, you're the worst. If hypothetically there were no poor people in the world, would you stop fasting? No. You would continue to do it. Why? Because your asl, your foundation is to please God. You don't pray for other people. You don't fast for other people. You don't even give charity for other people. That's a hard one because you're like, well, Allah, like, people look happy when I give them money. No. You're not doing that for them. You're not doing that for them. You're doing it for Allah. And this is why, subhanAllah, it's so bad when people compare their charities to one another, right? Like, what's the point? I can only give 5. That person gave 100. Don't worry about that 100, dude. That 5 could be more meaningful to Allah than that person's 100. So do it for Allah, okay? Ar-Riya. He says, Ar-Riya is born from exalting mankind. Its remedy is to perceive them subjugated to the power of Allah and to consider them even as inanimate objects in their inability to attain contentment and misery. So whenever you put somebody on too high of a pedestal, think about how human they are, right? Sometimes we actually shoot ourselves in the foot when we're like, man, that person is so amazing. That person's so awesome. That person's so great. And then you inevitably get disappointed when something doesn't go right. Something doesn't go your way. You're disappointed, right? That person fell short of expectations, or maybe that person wasn't nice to you. They always say, right, never meet your heroes, right? They always say that. Never meet your heroes. Why? Because there'll be disappointment in some way or the other, because you'll realize how they're flawed in so many ways, right? So Imam Ghazali, he says the remedy to that is by considering them that they are actually subjugated to the power of Allah. These people, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for Allah, they would not have anything. Anything. All the money that you value that they have, the lifestyle that they have, you're like watching all these like house shows on TV, and like you're going through like the tour of like the apartment or whatever, and like you're in college, you're like, wow, subhanAllah, like, can't wait till I get my first apartment in Dallas. And then you realize even that apartment could crumble if Allah sent one earthquake. Even that job that you love so much and that you're aspiring so much to have can crumble if Allah says, nope, it's going to dip. So do you love that inanimate thing, or do you love Allah? This entire session, by the way, is about placing your love in the right place, right? And then he says at the end, this is the most powerful line, I think, in the entire chapter. He says, in this way, you may escape from showing off to them. For as long as you regard them as possessing power and free will, the desire to show off will always be there. Okay? For as long as you regard them of possessing power and free will, your tendency and desire to show off will always be there. If you think that people are all powerful, you will always want to please them. You'll always want to show off a little bit. Think about it, guys. Why do we post things on Instagram and get hurt when we don't see like the like button increase? You're like, it's like weirdly stagnant. Like, why aren't more people liking this? And nowadays it's less personal and more like institutional. MashaAllah, we have like MSAs and like organizations, and we're like, yeah, this post will go crazy, right? And then it's like a dud. And you're like, oh, why? Why? Ask yourself the question, why are you disappointed? You're disappointed that you are not able to draw the love and the attention of other people around you. When in fact, how many times, subhanAllah, I'll give you guys this example. How many times have y'all posted on Instagram something random and it popped off? And you had no desire for it to go off anywhere. You like post like a picture of like a tree. You're like, ah, this tree looks nice. And all of a sudden, subhanAllah, Allah made people appreciate it. Why? Because you never relied upon their appreciation. You never hoped for their approval. You said subhanAllah, took a pic, posted on Instagram, and Allah did the rest. But some people like put that camera perfectly at that angle. They put their prayer rug out and they're like, Allahu Akbar. And then after they're done doing taslim, they go back and turn the camera off and they post it on TikTok and nothing happens. Why? Because that salah should have been for Allah, but you made it for TikTok. That salah should have been for Allah, but you made it for your friends. And so Allah will not put any barakah in it. Because what you wanted out of it was something so trivial. What you wanted out of it was something so, so lowly, when the objective of that action should have been so high. And so Allah will never reward that moment, right? And this is the consequence of a person who centers their life around showing off. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the ability to be sincere and the ability to be reliant upon Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who always have our hopes and our aspirations in Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be gentle and forbearing and kind to the people around us. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum khairan everybody, inshallah. We'll continue on with our series. Not next Thursday, because next Thursday is literally a federal holiday. So we're going to be off that day, inshallah, on Thanksgiving Day. But inshallah, we'll come back the Thursday after Thanksgiving, bithillahi ta'ala. So please don't show up to Roots next week at 7 p.m. You're going to be listening to like a bunch of nobodies. You'll inshallah have fun at home, chill with your friends, inshallah. We'll see you all in a couple weeks. Jazakallah khairan, guys. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, go ahead.